Hello and welcome to another episode of the Over 40 Freaking Awesome podcast, where I help guys over 40 to lose the belly, build some muscle on your limbs, increase handsomeness and feel great again, and do it all with a minimalist approach, because that's all we really have time for these days. If this is your first time listening, firstly, where the hell have you been? But also secondly, I'll tell you briefly a bit about myself. I am Chris. I'm an online men's fitness and lifestyle coach and an offline training studio owner here in Northern Ireland. I'm a 47-year-old father of three, and I've been helping guys over 40 for over 15 years now. I use this podcast to help as many fellas as possible worldwide to take back control of their health, their fitness, and their well-being instead of just letting the dad bod happen as we get older. So today's episode is a Q&A. I'm going to be answering three questions sent in by listeners over the course of the past week while I was in Naples in southern Italy for a few days over Easter, where incidentally my main cardio was sprinting across the road before a crazy guy on a scooter hit me. And yes, I am currently still made up of around 50% pizza dough, gelato and pasta, but it's all good. Vacations are for enjoying yourself, as I always say in these podcasts. The key is getting back into healthy habits when you get back home, and that's what I've just about managed to do. Today I'm going to be covering questions on protein intake, hipster health hacks, and sets and reps for muscle building. If you have a question that you'd like me to answer in a future episode, please do feel free to email me, chris@offacoach.com. I'm going to put that link in the episode description too for you. Okay, so let's jump in. First question comes from Jason in Florida, who asks simply, "Hey Chris, can I build muscle without protein powder?" Short answer is, yes, you can build muscle without protein powder, but you can't build muscle without enough protein. So contrary to what my dad thought in the mid-90s when I brought home a tub of protein powder, it is not steroids. It's just powdered food like baby milk powder. It tends to have around 25 grams of protein per 30 gram scoop of the powder. Now, bear in mind you need ballpark 120 to 150 grams of protein a day to build muscle and recover from any weight training that you're doing. Protein powder can be a very useful way to try and hit those numbers consistently instead of trying to get all of that from food. But you don't absolutely need protein powder. Like I said, it has no magic ingredient that helps you build muscle any better than eggs, chicken, milk, fish, and all of that. A quick note though on the various protein powders out there. Whey protein is seen as the best, certainly post-workout, because it gets to the muscles the quickest. But the price of it has gone nuts over the last couple of years. So, cheapskate that I am, I have been trying out some cheaper protein powders. You may read online that some protein powders aren't complete proteins, meaning you don't get all the same essential amino acids from them as you do from whey protein, which is very true. But as long as you're eating plenty of meat and fish and pulses in your meals in general, it's not something you need to worry about. You'll still be getting all the amino acids you need. So the cheaper proteins I've tried are pea protein powder, which doesn't mix that well, in my opinion. It has a certain grittiness to it that I wasn't a fan of. Soy protein was decent, especially if you stick with the kind of old school flavors like chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry. There's other fancy flavors that can be a wee bit hit and miss, because soy does have a certain unique flavour to it. But my favourite cheap but effective protein powder that I found is a kind of vegan blend. It's a mix of soy and rice and pea. So diet-wise, I am about as far from vegan as you can get, but this kind of vegan blend protein powder mixed really well and it hit the spot. So feel free to explore other non-whey protein powder options if you're considering it and you're cost conscious. Okay, next question came from Sean in San Diego, who asked, "I keep seeing videos on health hacks like mouth taping and taking cold showers and things like that for men's health. Are any of these things worth doing?" I know what you mean, Sean. I will occasionally fall into like an Instagram reel or is it YouTube shorts vortex where I lose half an hour of my life watching nonsense and then I wonder where all the time went. And I once watched a couple of short videos from a guy called Andrew Huberman. He's like the internet's scientist of choice these days for all things testosterone and men's health related. And because I watched a couple of them, now these algorithms show me more and more and more stuff just like that. So it's fairly relentless. So, as you may know from previous episodes, the best health hack, in my opinion, is just getting enough sleep, because nothing else compares to it in terms of its benefits for men's physical and mental health and hormone balance. But I have tried cold showers and mouth taping, and so I'll tell you my findings. Cold showers do nothing for your immune system or testosterone that an all-round healthy lifestyle won't do. What they are great for, though, is waking you up like nothing else on earth and making you literally ready to kick down doors in the morning and get stuff done. So by all means, switch your shower temperature to cold for a couple of minutes each morning if that's what you feel you need to kind of kickstart your day. Then mouth taping is something that can improve your sleep quality if you're a mouth breather like me. Now, I have a deviated septum from wax on the nose playing rugby, which means I can't really breathe great through my nose when I'm sleeping, and I end up breathing through my mouth. And that means sometimes I wake up a bit kind of groggy as a result. So mouth taping means literally taping your mouth shut. You can buy fancy tape for this. I got sent some for free last year and tried it. This means then you have to breathe through your nose because your mouth is taped up. To make this more comfortable for myself, obviously with my deviated septum, I also then wore a nasal strip to open up my airways. And I did find that a combination of the nasal strip and the mouth tape helped me get a better quality of sleep, as weird as it felt for the first few nights. Again, it's a very specific problem that mouth taping solves. If you always breathe okay through your nose while sleeping, it's a pretty useless thing for you to do. Also, feedback from my wife, as I lay there with my eye mask on, a nasal strip on, and my mouth taped up, she has no interest whatsoever in jumping my bones. So these are things you may want to bear in mind too when it comes to these health hacks. In general, there is always some element of truth and effectiveness with these kind of hipster health hacks that you'll see online. There's always some studies to back up their claims. It's just in the real world, they're like a health supplement. They have their uses, but they should be supplementing all the kind of sensible, boring, grown-up stuff like sleep, working out, limiting booze, and not eating crap too often. So don't get too excited and carried away by these kind of things. Lastly, on to Tim from London's question. He says, if I'm trying to build muscle, how many reps per set should I be doing and how many sets? Now, the internet loves this argument. Keyboard warriors will quote studies till the cows come home on why such and such a rep range is best and everything else is done. I will explain what approach works well for me and guys over 40 that I've coached. If anyone online disagrees, I really don't mind, to be honest. I'm 47. I have better things to do than argue with you about these things. So this is very much based on real world examples and my own trial and error. So for muscle building, we want hypertrophy, which is a breaking down of your muscle fibers through training so they can come back bigger and stronger for next time. Now, the two things to have in mind for the number of reps to do to achieve that hypertrophy are how long the muscle's under tension and the reps in reserve. And I'm going to explain both of those as briefly and as simply as possible for you. You need the target muscle to be under tension for at least 40 seconds to get that hypertrophy that you need. If you think about it, if you're only doing 6 reps, you need each rep then to last around 7 seconds, which I guess is feasible as long as you are happy going super slow and controlled. If not, you'll find that mainly most exercises take around 3 or 4 seconds for a controlled rep. And that's why you'll always see 8 to 12 reps talked about for muscle building, because 12 reps, 4 seconds, 48 seconds for a set, boom, there's your hypertrophy. Now, if you find yourself throwing a weight up and down for reps that last 1 or 2 seconds, then firstly, slow the hell down. But secondly, you'll need to be doing about 20 reps like that to get anything from those sets. So again, slow the hell down and control the weight. That's repetitions. When it comes to sets, again, you'll read online about high intensity training where guys do just 1 set per exercise. And that does work, but only if you are mentally strong enough to push through the pain barrier, do drop sets, do pauses, and go to absolute failure on that 1 set. Most of us can't push ourselves that hard. I certainly can't, and I don't want to, because it tends to leave you feeling busted up after a workout, and I have other things to get done each day. So 2 to 4 sets per exercise where you go to the point of having 1 to 2 reps in reserve is adequate, meaning not complete and total failure and messy reps, but pretty close to it. Now, this isn't to say that all of your exercises need to be three sets of 12 reps, because there is something to be said for adding some exercises where you're training for just pure strength, certainly on things like compound movements, like squats and deadlifts and bench press. Doing sets of 4 to 6 reps on those can mean that the strength you gain carries over to the weight you can then use for those longer hypertrophy sets later on. For example, if you can currently squat 200 pounds for 10 reps, but you've hit a plateau, you can switch to training for strength for a while. Let's say you can then squat 230 pounds for 5 reps. After a few weeks, if you then go back to training for 10 reps, you'll find you can now magically handle 205 or 210. Okay, that is us for this week. I hope those answers helped you understand protein powder, hipster health hacks, and muscle building workouts a wee bit better. As ever, please do leave a review on whatever app you're listening to this podcast on. It helps me know how I'm doing, but it also spreads the word to other guys online looking for podcasts to help them get their asses in shape. I'm going to also link in the episode description to my free No Weird Shit diet guide that I put together a while back that gives you a simple 80-20 approach to eating for fat loss and a bit of fun that any busy fella can follow with great results. But I'll chat to you soon, mate. Take care.